Podcast. In conversation with musicians from the UK jazz scene. And now your hosts, Rob Cope and Dan Farrant.
Dan!
Hello. Hey, Rob. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. How's the sound? I'm out and about.
So. Yeah, it sounds good.
It's okay.
It's okay. Should we get to work?
Absolutely.
Hello and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. Today is episode 83 or 84 or 85.
We lost track. Is that what's going on there?
Yeah. And I could look it up, but it's much faster to... Oh, yeah. All right. Okay. You know what? Let's start again.
No, it's good. Carry on. It's
okay. So, I'm your host, Rob Cope, and today with me, as always, is Dan Farrant to referee the magic. So, where are you, Dan? What's going on?
I'm in Guildford.
Oh, cool.
Doing a bit of, catching up on admin, and then off to do some Christmas shopping and have Christmas lunch.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I'm just at home. Just, the old teaching is winding down, so...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Got some time to make a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Always good. Always a good thing.
So, tell me about this Christmas shopping. How much have you got to do?
Oh, not much more. Just got to get a few stocking fillers.
Nice.
You know, kind of the small bits. Yeah. Done all the big ones. How about you? Are you finished?
We are. We've got one present left to buy for someone who we forgot to get one for.
Is that me?
Oh, no. Don't you worry about that. so, Dan, in the news this week, we're going to talk about... Oh, wait, I've lost it. There's a tribute gig to an old friend of mine, John Heisman, who was the drummer in the band Colosseum. I think they were pretty big time before we were born.
Right.
But Temple Music have announced a tribute to John Heisman. There's a concert on the 2nd of February in aid of a cure to Parkinson's disease.
Great.
But yeah, it's featuring the stars of Colossus, Barbara Thompson's Paraphernalia, musicians from the National Youth Jazz Orchestra, and special guests. It's at the Shepherd's...
Is Rob Cope special guest?
You would think so.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? You'd hope so.
You would. Just still, you know, waiting for the old phone to ring any day now. The gig is on the 2nd of February at the Shepherd's Bush great. Empire. So there's also a book about John called, it's called Playing the Band.
Nice.
Don't play the drums, play the band. So, Dan,
it's like Steve Jobs.
How is that like Steve Jobs?
Well, didn't he say, like, he plays the orchestra. Yeah, like, you know, he doesn't play an individual instrument, but he just plays, organises it.
Nice.
Plays the orchestra. Anyway, what we got on today?
Yes, good question. Michael D'Souza, guitar extraordinaire, has just released his first EP, so we're going to preview it. Play some tracks, have a talk.
Great.
It's going to be cozy. This is also, it's our Christmas show.
Christmas show.
In terms of, we probably could have done. So Mike D'Souza's EP is out and it's available on Bandcamp. It's called Road Fork. Shall we have a talk?
Yeah.
Thank you. Michael D'Souza, welcome to the Jazz Podcast.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
We're very happy to have you to preview this glorious new EP that you have. Is it released?
It is now released, yeah. It was released on the 6th of December. And we did a launch at the Vortex, which went very well.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So it's all out in the public domain now.
Sweet.
I'm looking forward to other people experiencing it.
How many tracks is on the EP?
So it's only three tracks, but they're jazz tracks. So they're on the long side of what is normal, I guess.
Right.
Well, I don't know, really. I mean, they're like kind of the first track's about 7 minutes, which isn't particularly long. But yeah. So
okay, cool.
Yeah, that sort of length.
Sweet.
The whole thing is 20 minutes-ish.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
So tell us about yourself quickly, because it would help for us all to understand.
Myself? What on earth. Sorry, you broke up for a second there. So it's a tell me about elf quickly. Which I'll
what it is that elf? Time of year. yeah.
Tell me about elves quickly, yeah. Myself, I mean, I'm a human being. I live in Walthamstow and I am a jazz guitarist. What else is there to know? As we said, I've just recorded and released a three-track EP of my own music with the wonderful talents of Hubie Williams on bass and Jay Davis on drums.
Oh, yeah, it's called Road Fork, and it's available now.
Yes, it is available now, yeah.
Where can you buy it?
You can buy it on Bandcamp. So I believe that the actual address that you have to go to is mikedesouzatrio.bandcamp.com.
Yes.
And that should take you to the page where you can buy it. It's also available on iTunes and I think like Amazon and all the other kind of places, digital places.
Yeah.
And on Bandcamp, if you want to get the physical CD, you can press a button with the appropriate text on it. That means that you will order the physical CD and I will send it to you personally.
Oh, sweet.
Via postage. And you can also listen to it on Spotify, but I prefer you bought it, but you can do what you want. You're up to you as a consumer.
I like that. Yeah.
I'd rather you, whoever's listening to this, just listen to it and hopefully enjoyed it.
Okay. But, so where did you record it?
It was recorded at Giant Wafer Studios in Wales. I can't remember. I've been there quite a few times. I just can't remember how to pronounce the part of Wales it's in.
Could leave it as a mystery.
Leave it as a mystery, but it's, you know, a place I've gone to quite a few times. We recorded both Big Bad Wolf albums there. So we recorded with Big Bad Wolf, not to go into that too much, but yeah. We recorded Pond Life there in 2016, I believe.
Amazing.
And we just recorded a new album there, which is going to release next year at some point.
Oh, brilliant.
And so this EP is actually, it's three tracks. The three tracks that I've taken from that recording session, but there's also a bunch of other tracks that I'm going to release next year as well.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of planning an album launch tour. And an album launch and an album release, etc., for autumn next year. And that's going to have a lot more music on it. So I kind of wanted to put something out there because I haven't really, this is the first thing I've released under my own name. So
okay.
I kind of wanted to put something out there to just get people listening to what I'm doing, really.
Yeah.
And, but yeah.
So is that the driving force behind deciding to do an EP rather than go straight in, I guess, with a full-length album?
Yeah, we did the recording session and ended up with more music than it would have been a really long album, potentially, you know, too long an album. I think, I think albums, if they go on for longer than an hour, I mean, there are exceptions, obviously, but like, it's better to keep it keep the listener wanting a bit more than it, for it to kind of drag on for too long.
I agree.
So I thought it would be better to have maybe like a 45-minute album and then release an EP before, to kind of hopefully get people interested in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
or let people know that I'm actually doing some stuff. And then to release an album later, which is what the plan is, kind of on track for that at the moment.
Is that
the EP release and everything?
Is it like a tried and trusted method to start with an EP and learn through doing that? Or are these just personal experiments, if you like?
I mean, I guess for me it is a personal experiment, but I have observed it in nature. It is a thing I'm sure many people have done before me. But it is a thing, but I guess an unusual thing about what I'm doing is they're kind of going to be released in fairly quick succession. I mean, yeah. I've released this one in December, probably going to release the album in about October next year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a fair gap, but I mean, usually people don't release two things within the space of 12 months.
Yeah.
So this is maybe slightly unusual, but we'll see. If it's a massive failure, for the record, it's not something that people should repeat in the future. But I'm willing to take one for the team in that respect.
Yeah.
The team is in the community of jazz musicians who will know about this. Hopefully some other people as well.
Yeah. So I played Road Fork to start the show and now have left it 6.5 minutes before mentioning that again, which is very classy. Tell us about the tune or how you wrote it or anything in particular.
Yeah. Just a second, mate. I've got a call coming through. I'm trying to figure out what is the right button to press to make it go away.
I hate that problem.
Hold and accept. Send to voicemail.
Send to voicemail. Send them.
Okay. That's done. You can cut that out, can't you?
I could, but...
You could, but it's also kind of charming, isn't it?
It shows how busy you are. Can't even do a podcast without getting... I'm a
very popular guy.
Exactly.
Very popular. Anyway. So, Road Fork. Road Fork was a tune that I wrote... I think the first tune I ever wrote on a Fender Stratocaster.
Right.
And it's... I don't actually own a Fender Strat. I was borrowing it from Rob Luft, actually. Or he'd left it in my house, and I was like, I'm going to play with this. And it was just a very, very inspiring sound. And a thing that I've tried to consciously do with this trio is write music that... really is composed at the guitar. It's guitar music in a lot of ways. It's obviously jazz as well, but it's the way you're often taught to compose when you kind of go through the whole jazz education thing is not so much to explore the potential of your own instrument as a sound source or as a an instrument to where you can create music on.
Yeah,
it's more you see, if you want to compose music, you go to the piano and you have harmony and melody and rhythm and you put those things together in your own unique way. But I wanted to do something that was specifically music that I discovered at the guitar that was uniquely playable on the guitar. It's quite hard to explain, but there are a lot of the sounds that I produce, particularly on the track Road Fork, incorporate it's a lot of like open strings ringing into each other, kind of cascading melodies, and a lot of natural harmonics, and obviously like kind of quite a overdriven tone. That track, actually, Road Fork in the studio, or actually later, I overdubbed a lot of the composition parts on an acoustic guitar as well. So you're hearing an overdriven guitar, doubled up with an acoustic guitar, and also the overdriven signal is also split into one amp is playing the kind of affected overdriven signal, and another one is going into a clean amp, so you're kind of getting quite an interesting tone, I think.
Yeah.
And so the tone on that track is you're hearing two amps on the guitar. One has like a sound, one has a clean sound, and it's kind of just blended up the two. You have the attack off the clean sound, and then you have the much more compressed sound of the overdriven one, and it kind of gives a nice unique sound, I think, hopefully. It's a thing that's been done a lot of times, but
okay.
It's not something that you hear all the time in jazz trio music, I guess.
Yeah. So the other bandmates, Jay Davies and Hugh
Davis. Yeah.
Jay Davis.
A lot of people make that mistake.
It just comes off my mouth wants to say Davies. I can't.
I think Davies is maybe a slightly more common surname.
Mm.
So it's slightly more, when people see that, they're like, ease is.
Okay.
They tend to go for the ease. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
No, tell me about what made you choose those guys to play on your EP.
Well, I guess I didn't first choose to play with them because I wanted to have them record on my EP. I mean, Jay is a drummer that I love his playing. He's a good friend of mine as well. So I've played with him in a lot of different situations. I feel very, very comfortable playing with him. And, I just really like what he brings, really. It's very hard to think, how can I describe it in deeper detail? He's a very good listener.
Mm.
And he tries really hard and succeeds in serving the composition rather than he's never trying to force something in for the sake of it.
Right.
I don't ever feel he's always shaping the bigger picture. And he's a very, very sympathetic drummer to play with.
Yeah.
I never feel like I'm fighting against him. It always feels like we're kind of working together. It always feels like he's kind of like there behind me, like going, yeah, do it, yeah.
That's that, just what you want. Someone like, do that, it.
That's what you want. That's what you want. do it now.
Oh,
and I guess the thing I love about Hugh, I mean, there's many things I love about both of these guys, but Hugh's got such a unique sound on the double bass, I think. And a very unique way of playing it. It's very different to I think I kind of, my sound is very different to his, and I like that kind of the direction that he pushes me in.
Yeah.
As a player, to have him as an improvising force, which he is. He really has a identity as an improviser, I think. And that's why I like to play with those guys, because they both push me in various ways.
When you
and push the music, it's not just about me, obviously. I mean, like,
yeah,
yeah.
When you wrote these tunes, was it with those two in mind?
Some of them, yeah.
Okay.
Road Fork is actually one. Actually, let me think. I think I'd written all of these tunes before I'd actually formed the band. But a lot of the music that's going to be on the album that comes out later next year is going to be music that I have thought or composed with this band in mind.
Right, okay.
I think Road Fork, the first time Jay, Hugh and myself played together was on a sort of pickup gig at Oliver's. With Owen Dawson as well, actually. It was actually meant to be a Big Bad Wolf gig, and I think Rob wasn't available or something. So we just kind of got Hugh involved and all brought some charts in. And I brought in Road Fork and another tune called Morning Mind, which is going to be on the album next year. And we just had a really great time playing that tune in particular. And it wasn't like I kicked out Owen. I mean, my idea was to get a trio together.
Yes.
together, because I wanted to do some music that was very much about the guitar, but obviously not just about the guitar. It's obviously a unit thing, but features the guitar quite heavily.
Yeah.
And I just really, we had a really great time playing particularly that tune. And then I got offered, because I am quite involved in the E17 Jazz Collective.
Yeah.
Helping run that whole thing, which isn't doing anything right now, but I got as kind of recompense for giving up your time and for that thing, you end up getting a gig like once every so often at the wherever the gigs are taking place at that time. So we had I was offered a gig, and I thought, what do I want to do? Do I want to just kind of get some people together and play some standards? I think I've been writing a lot of music. I'd like to put something together to do that. So I just thought of Jay. Jay was kind of the obvious option for me, because he's just the drummer I like playing with really the most. And then I thought about Hugh, who I hadn't played with as much, but I remember really having a lot of fun playing Road Fork with him. And we just kind of got a load of music together, and that I'd written, because I'd been writing a lot of stuff. And that's kind of how the band formed, which I had a gig, and that was the kind of kick up the butt I needed to actually get a band together, I think.
Right.
And so that happened, and then I just decided, okay, I'm going to do something. I'm going to record this music, and I'm going to get some more gigs and, you know, try and do the whole thing.
Okay. When did that happen then, that E17 gig that you just mentioned? Just trying to get a timeline in my brain of how long you've been working on this.
I was talking to someone about this yesterday. Like, time is all a mush in my brain. I have no like kind of landmarks.
Yeah.
Like marking out when stuff happened. It's just like, it was sometime in the past, definitely. And that's all I can really say.
Yeah.
When was it? It was probably like a year and a half ago. It feels like that sort of amount of time. Maybe 2 years ago. I'm not really sure. I'm sorry.
No.
I failed the interview.
it's a disaster.
How did your interview yesterday go? Or maybe I shouldn't ask you on this.
Did I interview someone yesterday?
I thought you said
interview. Yes. It was for a school inside Windsor Castle. So I kind of want it just because that's really cool. but they haven't called me, and but last time I got a job, it actually took them 8 days from the interview to then. I don't know if they'd maybe gone through all the other candidates by that point and everyone had said no, but, you know, you never know.
Right. Well, fingers crossed.
Yes. I kind of nervous about the mess it would make if that job were to come through. The mess it'll make of my rather delicately balanced timetable.
Oh right,
I'm scared. So anyway, but yes. So you did the improvised agenda music podcast last week.
Yeah, slightly different order of those words. Improvised music agenda.
Yes, thank you. I knew it wasn't coming out right.
The podcast. Improvisation music. that was too close to the actual correct one. It didn't work. You know what I mean.
I certainly do. How did you enjoy doing that?
That was good. Just had a friendly little chat with you.
Very nice. This is
mostly about music.
Okay.
But sometimes not.
Okay. That is like, I want to call it like our sister podcast.
As opposed to your arch nemesis.
Yeah, exactly. I've got plenty of those already.
We're all in this together. There's too few of us to be enemies.
Oh, there is. Exactly. So if you're not really, if you want to check out more about your life, well, not you personally, obviously, but the listeners, if they want to know more, that's not about the EP, but more general, you know, the life and times of Mike D'Souza, then that's where
the adventures of Michael D'Souza.
Oh, I love that, the adventures. So in a minute I'm going to play Turtle Talk. I absolutely love this tune.
Thank you.
It's a beauty. Before I press play on it, can you tell us there's a cool, like, I don't want to sound like a doofus here, but the riff that's going on at the top of this is it really appeals to the way the way my brain works. It just sounds really cool. How did you come to this, to write this tune?
Are you talking the very beginning?
Yes.
I can't remember. Maybe that was the first bit I came up with.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, that little cell, it's just I mean, it's nothing genius really. It's just three different arpeggios that share the top two notes in common.
Right.
And then the bottom two notes just keep going down in semitones. But it sounds cool.
It does.
Sounds particularly, I think a reason it sounds very rich is because they're just, you know, double tracking the guitar. It sounds very, especially coming out of Leave It to Fate, which is kind of a, it's a lot much more bare track. As in, you're just hearing the trio play pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you're hearing quite a rich sounding double track guitar playing this, 5/8 ostinato type thing. And you kind of get a chorusy sound, which isn't actually a chorus effect, but it's just the sound of when it's the effect I think you get when you're hearing two guitars playing the same thing and the phasing is slightly going against each other. And what did you want to, what were you asking? Sorry.
No, that was it. That was great. I was just really curious.
Yeah.
Especially because I play an instrument that's an acoustic one. So basically the guitar's constantly a source of fascination to me because you can make loads and loads and loads of different sounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it affects your brain as well. You know, the way you think about the way you've written this EP and the way you've used the guitar is really interesting because, because you're not taught to kind of think about the sound of your instrument as a source of inspiration, but that's what you keep coming back to, which is really interesting.
I think so. I mean, thanks for thinking that, but, I guess, yeah, what you said is like the sound of the instrument is the source of inspiration. It's not like I'm playing it to write it and I'm writing it to play it. It's so when I write it, I know exactly what it's going to sound like when I perform it.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes if you're an arranger, or a composer writing something for big band, and which is obviously people do an amazing job of that, and it requires a huge amount of skill and imagination. You have to imagine the sound of, you know, your trombone section. What is it? What's the sound of a trombone section playing this voicing rather than a sax section playing this voicing?
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of imagination, which I have. Actually, I mean, it's not just I have respect for that. I mean, I've done that and I want to hopefully do that in the future. And but this particular approach, it gives you something of actually writing at your instrument, for your instrument, means you discover things that are very hard to discover any other way. So yeah, I hope that's what people kind of take when they listen to this music.
Okay.
And yeah.
So
Turtle Talk, by the way, the name came about on that first gig, that E17 jazz gig, when I didn't have a name for this tune. And we just went to get some food before the gig at a restaurant called Turtle Bay, which was okay. Nothing special. this is my review of it. It's all right. And we were just trying to figure out what to call this tune. And, you know, if it's not already obvious, we were talking in Turtle Bay and decided to call it Turtle Talk because we have no other inspiration for what to call this tune.
That's excellent.
Anyway.
So before we go, tell us, is there any opportunity coming up that people can come see you guys play?
Not for the foreseeable future at the moment, because I guess the gig that was coming up was just the EP launch, and I haven't got anything else in the diary now until late next year. I've kind of been focusing on booking stuff for the album launch tour, which is going to happen at some point. So I've got, you know, booked in to play the Les Car in October.
Oh, great. Cool.
The Bradford one, Jazz at the Priestley, at some point, I think in November, and Listen Cambridge. So I'm just kind of working on sorting out that tour at the moment. And I might get in another London gig at some point in the meantime, so it's quite a lot of time between now and then. But I'm afraid I can't give you a day. I would have loved to plug a specific gig on this podcast, but I don't think I can.
No, well, I'm going to put the link to your album in the comments so that it's easiest as possible to find. But congratulations on releasing such a beauty into the world.
Oh, thank you very much.
The cover's really cool, by the way, before we get out.
Yeah.
Here, just...
That's artwork by Amy Brown, who is a dear friend of mine, who also did the artwork for Pond Life.
Oh, cool.
Big Bad Wolf album. So you can kind of see a stylistic consistency there.
Oh, mate, that's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. Did an amazing job here. I really love it. Just a nice thing. I'm holding it in my hand right now.
Yeah.
I decided I'm going to have one on the table just so I don't forget what we're actually meant to be talking about. And I'm holding it in my hand right now and just admiring the vivid colours.
Yeah.
And the three figures that represent Hugh, myself and Jay.
It's sweet. Which one are you?
I have to be in the middle, don't I?
I suppose you do.
Yeah. Also, I kind of feel that Hugh has got his, also the guy on the left, if you're looking at it, has his arm wrapped around something, which could be a double bass.
That's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
And the guy on the right is sitting at what could be a drum stool.
Yep.
Neither of us are really up to much. We're just kind of like chilling.
Just chilling out.
Yeah. But we're getting ready to play. So you take it out of the CD player. Sorry, take it out of the CD case, stick it in the CD player, and then we may or may not start dancing.
That's incredible.
On the image.
I'm going to assume that you do. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, sick. Well, thank you for coming on the Jazz Podcast. I'm going
to... Thank you for having me.
Press play right now on Turtle Talk.
Great. Thanks for having me on here. It's been a pleasure to talk.
Oh, yeah. Right, Dan, this is it for Christmas. Good Lord.
It's nearly 2019, Rob.
I know, and that will be the second birthday of the Jazz Podcast.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
What's 2019 got in store for us? What have we got to look forward to? Or to not look forward to?
Right now, nothing.
Sounds about right.
Yep, just like all the other years. Something will happen. There'll be some great shows. There'll be some mediocre shows.
Well, I tell you what, there's a few things on the horizon that I can think of.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there's Rob Cope's album launch.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, of course. What am I saying? The Rob Cope album launch.
That's something to look forward to in 2019.
That's genuinely a thing. The other thing for me is the film.
Yeah, of course. That's coming out soon. Have we got a date on those yet?
Yeah, it's being premiered on the 9th of April in Leeds, and then on the 11th of April in London.
Long away, Rob. That's 4 months away.
I'm excited.
That's not long at all.
I'm really excited.
So wait, 11th of April in London, did you say?
That's the one.
I'm putting it in the diary.
Actually,
encourage
yes,
everyone else to
do that.
As well,
it's invitation only, so
well,
if genuinely, if it's something you're really interested in coming along to, you get in touch and we'll talk. Obviously, Dan,
you're going to be inundated with requests now.
I would think so. So
where is it going to be?
Royal Academy of Music.
Yes,
and the Leeds one is at Leeds College.
Great.
Yeah, and then a few film
festivals in the diary
to submit to as well.
Cool.
Which will be interesting. And then
look,
that'll be it for me. Live a quiet life.
Yeah, when's your album launch day? That's the Gods of Apollo.
Yeah, that's right. That's coming out at the Vortex. I've got it in my diary somewhere. What's going on here?
What is hosting a jazz podcast for, unless to self-promote, you know?
Indeed. I think it's the 26th of July that it's coming
out. A little bit after.
Exactly. I've got 3 months to reset my life and then start.
So. It's always a month. Oh, what day of the week's that?
Friday night. Friday night at the Vortex. It'll be huge.
Cool.
How about you?
It'll be out of this world.
It will, quite literally. I'm going to try and decorate the Vortex with some weird space, you know, paraphernalia. Martin Hummel's idea, and a mighty fine one.
Very nice.
So, what have you got?
Said
going
Mark
on?
Hummel's idea for a second there. I was like, wow, that would be cool.
Ah, that would be amazing.
Cool,
yeah.
Input, wouldn't it?
Mark and I go way back.
Yeah.
Except he doesn't know about me or that we go way back. But I
yet,
know. Not yet. What have you got in 2019? Is there anything?
Oh no.
Not
no.
Such a weekly appearance
we'll
on the jazz podcast.
Well, I mean, it's the only thing keeping me going at the moment, Rob.
Dan, on that note, it's time to end. It's been a pleasure.
Yep. As always,
we will
see
be back
you next year.
Yep. Awesome. We'll have a big jazz podcast birthday, 2nd of February.
Is that when it is? Yeah. I renewed our domain name, so.
Oh, you absolute legend. Well played, sir.
I mean, yeah, we've been going at least 2 years now.
Yeah. We're cruising.
Grand.
Awesome.
Bye.
Farewell, lads.
Farewell.